Manx Radio's update with Christian Jones.
Faster, my good afternoon. It's 5 o'clock on Tuesday, the 7th of October. I'm Christian Jones, and this is Update. Welcome into 30 minutes of all the latest news, sport, and travel, compiled from the resources of Manx Radio's newsroom on the way tonight. The island's population is at a record high, but is growth keeping pace with government targets? Meanwhile, almost £150,000 worth of food is wasted each year in the island school. And Isle of Man tennis star Billy Harris is off to a strong start at the Jinan Open in China. As always, drop me a message if you want to say hello. Text WhatsApp to 166177 or email me at studio@manxradio.com. But first, let's get the latest with Siobhan Fletcher. Faster, my Siobhan.
A community information evening tonight following a serious incident in Mackled yesterday afternoon. Two men were assaulted, including one on Cornay Beach, who has been transferred to a UK hospital for treatment. The constabulary says the purpose of the meeting, which will be held at Doon Church Hall in Glenmona from 7 until 8 o'clock, is to give all residents and those affected by the incident some reassurance and support. Meanwhile, residents in the west of the island have a chance to discuss proposals for 20-mile-an-hour speed limits in residential areas this afternoon. Infrastructure Minister Michelle Haywood is currently hosting a drop-in session at Peel Town Hall. She'll be there until 6:30. The latest Statistics Isle of Man's numbers report has revealed the island's population has reached its highest recorded level at 84,523. That's 454 more people than at the 2021 census, though well below government targets to increase the island's population. And the former Minister Without Portfolio says his recent resignation was due to him not supporting the North and West Area Plan and the transport strategy and nothing else. In his first interview since leaving the role, we asked Tim Crookall if the decision to resign now was politically motivated ahead of the 2026 election.
We all get asked that now, you know, and it's like, if I was to say, no, I'm not going to stand, then what does that do? Just, you know, it's just like, I really have not made my decision yet, and I will make that next year sometime. Probably quite last minute.
Further afield, the leader of the Conservatives has repeatedly refused to say whether she admires political rival Nigel Farage.
I think it's very interesting that a lot of the media in Westminster is very interested about asking about Nigel Farage. I'm not interested in Nigel Farage. I'm interested in the Conservative Party.
Kemi Badenoch also rejected suggestions of a pact with Reform UK, the party currently leading the polls, saying she always believed her party's fortunes would get worse before they got better. Students have gone ahead with pro-Palestine protests at some UK universities, despite the Prime Minister calling the demos un-British. And Justin Bieber has filmed a video for his new single, Bad Honey, in a pub in Dundee. There are your headlines. I'll have your news in full at 6.
Good reminder. Thank you very much for that, Siobhan. Let's take a look at the weather now, brought to you by Manx Glass and Glazing. Overcast to start with outbreaks of rain or drizzle and extensive hill fog. Improving later this evening, though, becoming mainly dry, although rather cloudy. Light to moderate southwest wind veering northwest and easing, minimum temperature of 8 degrees Celsius.
Manx Glass and Glazing can supply and install single, double and triple glazing. Call 674 573 or visit the showroom on the Snugbrough Trading Estate.
Ambitions Recruitment Consultants, covering all business sectors in the Isle of Man. Register online or email your CV to info@ambitions.co.im or ring 614 841. Ambitions, for all your recruitment needs, however big or small.
One Architectural Design Company has particular expertise in achieving planning approval for a wide variety of projects, from landmark buildings to spectacular homes. Talk to the experts at Ellis Brown and get your project off the ground. For excellence in design, search Ellis Brown.
Patricia Wild Opticians is celebrating over 30 years of friendly, caring service in Farm Hill and Ramsey. Visit us for professional eye care with stress-free parking. Phone Patricia Wild Opticians on 813 977.
Elevate Rubber Cover from Rubber Roof Shop for one-piece flat roofing systems. No joins, no leaks. We also line commercial box gutters in one piece up to 60 metres with a 20-year written warranty against leakage. Call Rubber Roof Shop on 49667.
You're listening to the Isle of Man's quintessential daily news and current affairs roundup. Update on Manx Radio.
5 minutes past 5 on Manx Radio's Update. Welcome to the programme. I want to first bring you some more details from the police. Like we heard in the news, the Isle of Man Constabulary has been updating the public today following an incident in the north of the island yesterday afternoon. Returning with us now is Siobhan Fletcher.
Superintendent John Phillips says on Sunday the 5th of October, police, the Coast Guard and search and rescue dogs conducted extensive searches for a man reported missing from home, with the case treated as a high-risk missing person inquiry, with the man's welfare being the primary concern. However, that changed yesterday afternoon after police received reports of a serious assault at Corney Beach in Macclesfield. Armed officers were quickly deployed to the scene and provided medical assistance to the man who had sustained serious injuries. He is currently receiving hospital treatment in the UK. Now, around the same time, a second incident occurred nearby involving another local man who was assaulted and had his vehicle stolen. Officers responding to this incident swiftly arrested a man from Douglas who remains in police custody. Police say they are maintaining a significant presence in the Macclesfield area today as officers carry out scene inquiries and seek to identify further witnesses. At this time, there is no indication of any ongoing threat to the public. Police say they are working to establish the full circumstances surrounding these events and are urging anyone with any information to contact them on 631 212. Alternatively, information can be shared anonymously via Crime Stoppers on 0800 555 111. Now, in the north of the island this evening, police are hosting a community information evening. The Isle of Man Constabulary's Northern Neighbourhood Policing Team says the purpose of the meeting is to give all residents and those affected by the incident some reassurance and support. Garth Commissioners has confirmed the event will be held at Doon Church Hall in Glenmona from 7 until 8 o'clock and refreshments will be provided. Everyone is welcome to attend.
Gurumaya, thank you very much for that, Siobhan. Quite a lot to take in, so if you want to see any more of that in a bit more detail and in a little bit slower, then head on over to manxradio.com. All of those details are there. Now, the island's population has reached a record high, but new data suggests growth remains well behind government ambitions. The latest Isle of Man in Numbers report provides a detailed snapshot of the economy, housing, population trends. John Moss is with us now. First of all, John, just give us a flavour of the details, please.
You have to remember, of course, government ambitions are pretty high. Yes, the population now stands, we're told, at 84,523, the highest on record. That's only an increase of 454 people since 2021 census. It means that's about 100 a year. You've probably worked it out. It means growth is positive again, but still far below what's needed to reach that government goal of 100,000 residents by 2037.
You said growth was positive again. What do we know where that's actually coming from?
Well, more deaths than births, basically. 579 babies born last year compared with 936. But it means the population growth, taking that into account, depends on people moving here rather than a natural increase brought about by births and deaths.
And what does the report say about the economy? Do we know?
Nominal GDP, we're told, rose to 5.81 billion. That's up from 5.60 billion the year before. But once inflation, and here's the big but, is taken into account, that actually represents a real terms fall of about 5%, the second decline in 3 years. Even so, overall output is up by around a third compared with a decade ago. Employment has stayed strong, with just under 36,600 people in work. And unemployment, of course, a big plus, is still below 1%.
And something which will be naturally on a lot of people's minds is cost of living and wages. And what can you tell us about that?
Well, inflation has eased sharply. It was around 10% at its peak in 2022. It's dropped to about 2.8%, close to pre-pandemic levels. Median full-time earnings rose from £640 a week in 2016 to £765 last year. But once adjusted for inflation, real wage growth has been relatively modest.
Housing, naturally, continues to be one of the biggest issues for the island. What does the report show there?
Well, average house price now £384,179, just comparing with the average in the UK, incidentally, £271,000. Ours is 10% higher than in 2021 and almost 50% higher than a decade ago. But only around 150 new homes were completed in the last financial year. That compares with more than 300 annually in the mid-2010s. The report highlights affordability. What is affordability? We still haven't answered that question. And limited supply is key challenges for attracting and retaining residents.
final thoughts, John, just briefly. Anything notable on health or the environment?
Well, on average, GPs now serve around 2,689 patients, we're told. That's up from just under 2,000 10 years ago. Reflects a drop in the number of full-time doctors, which is a problem. Life expectancy stands at just over 79 years for men, 84 for women. On the environment, emissions have fallen from over 700,000 tonnes in 2013 to a rise 573,000 in 2023. But most electricity, that's about over 80%, 82%, still comes from natural gas.
John Moss, thank you very much for that. Let's turn our attention to the island schools. Almost £150,000 worth of food is wasted each year in the island's schools. The figures have been published by the Department of Education, Sport and Culture as part of its review of school meals earlier this year. With more details is Sean Cowper.
A three-week study at three of the island's primary schools revealed there's around 40 kilograms of plate waste each week, with a further 31 kilograms thrown away from the kitchens. The Department of Education, Sport and Culture estimates this equates to an average of £145,763.70 per year across all schools, just under 5% of the total budget for school meals on the island. The figures are part of a paper prepared for a political meeting in July this year and have been published by Education Minister Daphne Kane in response to a Tynwald written question from Onchan MHK Julie Edge. The report goes on to say some waste in the kitchen is unavoidable, such as skins and peelings, while the plate waste includes items like wrappers and packaging. The department has set out ways to reduce the amount of waste, targeting a 10% reduction. It aims to improve meal ordering accuracy across all schools, as a significant portion of food waste is as a result of overproduction. Measuring and analysing meals will also be looked at, with the department considering whether each school will need a set of digital scales costing £40 each. It's also hoped work to educate students and promote the school meals by improving familiarity and understanding will reduce waste. Changes to the school menu were introduced at the start of the current school year, with a focus on less ultra-processed food and more local produce.
You're listening to the Isle of Man's quintessential daily news and current affairs roundup. Update on Manx Radio.
12 minutes past five, Ramsay Commissioner Joe McGuinness is questioning whether enough groundwork has been done ahead of plans to remove rates exemptions on dilapidated and ruinous properties. Currently, landlords don't have to pay rates on buildings in that condition, but new Treasury legislation would change that to encourage redevelopment. Mr. McGuinness estimates there are around 67 such properties in Ramsay and warns the move could have unintended consequences if not carefully managed.
What I've been asking our staff to do is dig into why they are zero rated. I mean, some of them, I got the list, some of them have been zero rated for over a decade or more. I am generally in favour of this. The one concern I have is that there's a likelihood that people who are cash poor will be forced to sell. And realistically, these buildings are not going to be mortgageable. So you are selling to an existing capital-rich echelon of society. So you have the risk of sort of forcing people who are temporarily cash flow awkward to lose their property, which is not something I want to do. It's got to be a subjective balance.
The key being that you can't get a mortgage or a decent loan on something that's haunted, it's a ruin, you can't get. So you have to find the cash to do that. But the fact is that some of these have been there for you. There may be deceased estates. There may be children, grown-up children in here, there and everywhere who aren't interested anymore. But the fact is, they look like broken teeth, don't they?
Yeah.
When you're driving around or walking around.
I think the proof of how it would work is the policy afterwards. It's one thing to enact a legislation, but then the policy following it has to allow for a certain amount of time for people to be able to renovate. You've got to be able to sort of say, well, actually, you're not making effort to make it better. Also, what worries me is where you're looking at it, the perspective of someone buying it and doing something with it. There is the risk that someone will buy it, that resets the clock and you end up with an issue again. Or, you took that broken teeth analogy, well, they could demolish the property and then you have missing teeth. And once you've got no property, this rates issue doesn't apply anymore.
Which, there are some of those around Ramsay, aren't there?
There are, and that's the current issue. Well, not just current, I think it's always been the problem is you want to redevelop brownfield sites, absolutely. The cost is very prohibitive at the moment to do that from a capital from a commercial perspective. The returns just aren't there, which I understand. So it's a difficult problem to fix without the government stepping in, whether it's local or national.
Manx Radio Travel, driven by Quayside Tyres and Service Centre.
Couple of things to be aware of on the roads today. We'll start in Douglas. Temporary lights on the Old Castletown Road, that's near the Nunnery. 24 hours a day for work on the manholes. Over in Braddon, temporary lights on Braddon Road, that's just up from Braddon Bridge. Over in Sandton, the Mount Murray Back Road is closed for the building of a concrete underpass. Couple of things to be aware of in Laxey 2. Church Hill is closed because of a collapsed wall that needs to be repaired. Also in Laxey, temporary lights on New Road. That's near the Queen's Hotel. 24 hours a day for sewer work. And something which I keep saying, I will continue saying, you probably already know about it now. The Mountain Road closed from Brandywell to the Craig for drainage work. Quick trip down to the steam packet. Everything is looking good on my screen. Everything's looking green there. So we'll head on down to Ronald's Way Airport. And there is a couple of things I'm seeing here. On the arrivals board, we'll start there. The 5:30 Loganair from Manchester. That's delayed. That's going to be coming in at 5:50. Also on the departures board, the 6 o'clock Loganair to Liverpool, only a minor delay there. That's not due to be on the runway until around 20 past. Of course, if there is anything that I've missed on the roads and you want to let me know about it, then please do ping me a text, ping me a WhatsApp, 166 177, and keep me updated.
Ask how you can spread the cost interest-free at Quayside.
This Thursday on Manx Radio, join me, David Kinley, for a series of programmes entitled New World, Old Ways, where we discuss the history, culture, folklore, superstitions and music of the Manx emigrees to the New World, and in particular, the Appalachian Mountains. And I'll be talking to Mr. Robert Teer about the Manx Methodist emigrees to the United States of America. That's this Thursday, 5:30 p.m. here on Manx Radio.
You're listening to the Isle of Man's quintessential daily news and current affairs roundup. Update on Manx Radio.
17 minutes past five on Manx Radio's update. Well, it's just been over a week since Glenfaber and Peel MHK Tim Crookall resigned as Minister Without Portfolio, citing conflicts in regards to the North and West Area Plan and the Department of Infrastructure's Transport Strategy. At the time, he was overseeing government's efficiency programme, a responsibility which now falls to the Chief Minister, Alfred Cannon. Mr Crookall does, however, remain as a member for the Department of Health and Social Care. But why did he step down? And with the general election a year away, is this just a strategic move from the MHK? Well, Shanal Suku has been finding out.
I disagreed with a few things that were coming through. And the time comes when you think, I'm disagreeing with too much. And I had a conversation with the Chief Minister and I said, I'm not prepared to support those. And he gave me some time to think about it. And I resigned during that those couple of days.
With the transport strategy itself, that's something that you've started as DOI Minister.
Starting it is one thing, Chanel, but seeing the finished product is another. And, you know, there are several examples of that that will come out in the following months, I presume, and we'll see what happens there as well.
Your role was to oversee savings and efficiencies in government. How much were you able to complete? Are you concerned to leave at this point because finding savings is a very important task for the current administration?
I make no bones about it. I'm disappointed to leave, Chanel. You know, nobody walks out of Comin, you know, and doesn't seriously think about it. But and that is a really good project taking forward. We've had the savings project in the past and things like that, but or the save project. But you know, this, I believe, with what's coming forward and the team that are working on it, they're doing a really good job. And I believe they will find those figures going forward. It'll be hard for the first year, but as the years go on and they're able to produce facts and figures as to what's been saved, I think they will do that. We have to do that across government. We have to.
Your resignation, you know, has it been politically motivated ahead of next year's election? Do you intend to stand?
That's the big question, and people will have to wait and see, Chanel.
We're all,
yes, absolutely. We all get asked that now. I really have not made my decision yet, and I will make that next year sometime.
You've resigned from two ministerial roles in this administration. In 2015, you relinquished your MHK role for LegCo, and then you went back to Keys in 2021. Are you not able to commit to political positions?
Absolutely. But when I think there's something wrong, I will try and do something about it. So I was fortunate enough to go to LegCo. I was happy enough and lucky enough to be supported by my fellow MHKs at the time. And I got in there. I did my 5 years. And during that 5 years, the two members that were serving the West, if you like, I wasn't happy with that. And we put the standing members out.
Glenn Faber and Peel MHK Tim Cruckle speaking to Chanel there. Well, let's turn our attention now. The chair of Castletown Commissioners says work is ongoing to replace and refurbish the children's play areas in the town. A complaint was brought forward at the commissioners' meeting last night about a hole left in the zip line in Paulson Park was removed due to safety concerns. Tony Brown says a report was carried out for all of the play areas and issues are being prioritised due to a small number of staff.
One of the things we did as commissioners early on was have a wander around town and looking at the parks and the play areas. There's an issue about the small children's play area in the Bowling Green, where it's been partly ripped out and left. They bought new equipment early part of the year, but no proper plans to put it into position. So we're working on that as a priority, and hopefully we'll have that in place and our ambition before next Easter. Also, we had a look at the other play equipment, and the zip wire in Pulson Park we noticed was not in good condition, so we gave immediate instructions for it to be removed, which it was the next day. The platform was left, that's to be removed, we just haven't got around to it. Regardless what people think, we only have two general labourers, and they have a lot of other work to do to keep the town going, so we've been quite limited on what we do. And it's a matter of priority. The priority was to make it safe. We've had an inspection done of the play equipment in the town, which has given us a report on what we need to do to improve some of the play equipment. We had children's seats that needed replacing. We've had them painted up to make them look better than they were, get rid of some of the rust, and we've got other work as well to do to just generally upgrade the children's play areas around the town.
You're listening to the Isle of Man's quintessential daily news and current affairs roundup. Update on Manx Radio.
Now, we've talked before on Manx Radio about how the Isle of Man is set to become one of the first places across the British Isles to begin restoring and expanding temperate rainforests. But what does that mean to undertake such a task, and where do you even start? Merlin Hambury-Tennyson is a Cornish conservationist and veteran who founded the Thousand Year Trust, Britain's rainforest charity. He'll be on the island later this month to share his experiences at a special talk at Peel Centenary Centre. Howard Kane caught up with him to find out more.
It tends to have existed down our Western Celtic spine, everywhere from Stornoway on the Isle of Lewis, down the Western Highlands past Fort William and Oban, down through places like Cumbria and the Lake District, the Isle of Man, then that Western Belt of Wales from Anglesey to Aberystwyth down to Pembrokeshire, and then in the southwest, places like Exmoor, Dartmoor, Bodmin Moor, the Lizard, and West Penwith. And it's defined, of course, by the amount of rain that it receives. And we are lucky to receive a lot off the Atlantic in our Western Celtic fringes. So you need at least 1,400 millimetres of rain a year. And that rain can't all fall in one big monsoon season or one big cloud dump in December. You need to have a little bit every month of the year. And the reason for that is because it feeds the epiphytes, which are so important to rainforest habitats. And epiphytes are any plants that don't use the soil to grow. And these things thrive on oak trees, which tend to be our paramount species within our temperate rainforest. And a single oak tree can hold up to 600 species living in it at any one time.
Is it a challenge with something like the Thousand Year Trust you're working with now, that we live in a timescale where everything is instant gratification and short-termism, or something like this? We're talking, as you say, 1,000 years. We could be looking generations into the future. Is it part of it trying to get people to alter their mindset with this?
Absolutely. And I think that's so important. And there were a number of reasons why I called the charity the Thousand Year Trust, but one of them is absolutely to try and draw people away from this short-termism that we've been trapped within, where everything is judged based on 2 or 5 year timelines, and actually try and encourage people to suspend that human time bracket and think a little bit more like an oak tree for a second. These are 1,000-year creatures. And we're being constantly bombarded with doom and gloom about climate change and biodiversity loss, as we should be, because all these things really are happening. But there is a source of optimism within the heart of it, because when we're asking questions like, can we reverse climate change by 2030? We absolutely can't. These are large and long-term issues which have a big lag effect, and we're going to have to really knuckle down and focus in on a long-term vision. Can we fix climate change by the year 3020? Absolutely we can. None of us will be there to see it. it, but that's much more beautiful to be involved in a multi-generational long-term restoration effort. And that, I believe, is a source of optimism and hope to fight the pessimism and climate anxiety that we're seeing so much of at the moment.
Merlin Hanbury-Tennyson speaking to Howard there. Right, let's turn our attention to sports up next.
Your name's not Dan, you're not coming.
Make Floor Fillers, the soundtrack to your Saturday night with me, Chris Quirk. Relive the best nights of your life with dance anthems from the 90s onwards. We'll also be firing up the decks in the studio and going in the mix for 20 minutes of uninterrupted anthems. Whether you're dressed to impress for a night out or vibing at home with friends, Floor Fillers brings you the energy to kickstart your Saturday night from 8 on Manx Radio. Baby, come and light
my fire. 25 minutes past 5. We can now join Rob Pritchard, who's back in the studio. Fast am I.
First tonight, it's been a good start for Isle of Man tennis star Billy Harris at the Jinan Open on the ATP Challenger Tour in China this week. The former Albany and Castletown competitor came from a set down to beat Japan's Yusuke Watanuki in three sets, 1-6, 6-3, 6-2 in the early hours of this morning. Well, as a result, Harris progresses to the round of 16 of the men's singles tournament and will face Australian Bernard Tomic in the next phase early Thursday morning, UK time. Well, it's been a quick turnaround for the former Ireland athlete, who's now ranked 133rd in the ATP world standings, having taken part in the men's singles qualifying stage of the Shanghai Open 7 days previously. Elsewhere, the Isle of Man netball squad will be part of an international tournament in Asia in just under a month's time. The Manx Rams will contest the 2025 Singlife Nations Cup in Singapore from the 2nd to the 8th of November. The Isle of Man will be one of six national sides involved, along with home teams Singapore A and Singapore Vandras, as well as Kenya, Malaysia and Papua New Guinea. The OCBC Arena in Singapore will be the venue for the tournament. In football, Malou have begun their search for a new combination team manager. The Southern side is looking for someone to take up the position with immediate effect. Announcing the vacancy, Malou AFC says because they initially didn't think they would have enough players to field a combination side boss had not been appointed. However, in the same update, the club adds they've since been able to make more signings, with further new additions expected in the coming days. Well, at this point in the new season, the Malou combination team sit 12th out of 13 sides in Ardern and Drugger Limited Combination 2, with one win from their opening five games. Anyone interested in taking on the position is asked to get in touch with Malou AFC directly. And in athletics, tonight marks the start of the Northern AC Winter Road Series. Tonight's opening round will feature both 1 and 3 lap races over 1.7 kilometres and 5 kilometres respectively on a course in and around Ramsey. The series as a whole will feature one race each month in the town from this month through to March 2026.
Good reminder, thank you very much for that, Rob. Not very nice weather out there, is it? It's not rugby weather. Well, maybe it is rugby weather.
Maybe it is rugby weather.
Yeah. Definitely not for me. Well, that's it for Update this evening. Thanks very much to newsreader Siobhan Fletcher. Stick around. Charles Gard up next with Island Life. Chris Kinley has Greatest Hits straight afterwards. John Barker is in the hot seat with The Folk Show from 9 o'clock. And then Dave Moore taking the reins with After Hours from 10 through till midnight. I'll be back with you tomorrow, same time. So until then, take care. Bye-bye for now.